Sat, how you doing, man?
Good morning, gentlemen. What is happening?
Ah, man,
Excited?
it's Christmas Day, right? Like it's I
Yeah.
am. You know what? I think the fact that we've waited so long, but I feel like there was a little bit of a buzzkill yesterday when you get the word from JT Miller. But I think the one thing to kind of see with this, and Sat, like this is kind of what we're going to have to expect, and not just. I mean, look, the Canucks got kicked in the butt by it. But this is something we're going to see probably all across the league over the course of the year if the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NBA is any indication.
This is going to be part of life this season, right? Like we're going to have to be used to seeing players not play. We're going to have to see protocols come into place. This is going to be life in the NHL in 2021, 2022. The hope had been that maybe in Canada, because the case numbers relative to the US have been less, that it would not affect Canadian teams as badly. Already we're seeing potentially some effect. Now, what's interesting about this Canucks situation, is it indeed a player who actually has COVID, or is it because of imperfect testing to this point? And that's going to be something we're going to find out today. But obviously, if we thought not playing in a bubble would mean we wouldn't have any issues with COVID, like the NHL didn't have in the summer in the bubble, well, obviously that's not going to be the case this season.
Sat, we're going to get it. We're going to get probably a plethora of injuries. It happens, and when the news comes out yesterday morning, it forces us, and we do on all our shows, 24 hours a day on this station, talk about depth. But when you lose a guy like JT Miller, and it comes around to Jake Virtanen again, is that where the fear will be? More so maybe in the top six depth with this team than it is even on the blue line?
I like the top line where you take JT Miller off of 4 games. I mean, obviously, that's a bit of a gut punch, especially early in the season. That's minimum potentially for 4 games for JT Miller. We'll see ultimately what happens with him. But that's going to be the underlying story for this team this season. How much scoring depth do they have in front, up front? Who can emerge this season? Who can score a bit? You are going to have injuries. You are going to have unforeseen circumstances, as we've already experience to start the season with the game starting in Edmonton with no JT Miller and no Jordy Benn, but especially up front when you don't bring Lebo back, and Toffoli of course was the big loss, but Lebo was the guy who was here all season. Lebo wasn't a guy that separated this team from the rest of the group, but he provided you middle six depth, a guy who could play up in your top six, a guy who could step in if things went awry and give you some cover. The question here is, do the Canucks have enough players that can give you some cover in the top six if somebody goes down? This obviously means Nils Höglander is going to have to be good. And if he is good, well, that answers and alleviates a lot of questions. But if he struggles a bit and isn't quite ready, and Jake isn't quite, there to place consistently in the top six, then yeah, that could be a question for this team. So obviously, who emerges and if they can get somebody internally to take that next step is what this team needs up front if they want to be able to score at the same pace they did last season.
Sat Shah with us here on the Air Canucks commute this morning here on Sportsnet 650. That's the fascinating thing that we've been discussing throughout the morning here, Sat, in the you can look at every team in the Gord Downie division, the All-Canadian division, the North division, that there's a question mark with every team, right? And I think the one thing that and I think at times I'm probably guilty of being just too insular in this market looking at this squad, but there's questions with respect to the Canucks goaltending. I think it'll be okay, but I think until you don't know. But the blue line is significantly better. I'm totally in on what they've done defensively. But up front, it's that hole with scoring, and they never really have replaced it with Tyler Toffoli. Maybe Höglander is that guy, but that's a lot to ask from a kid who just turned 20 a couple of weeks ago to step in here. And when you look at his numbers that were pretty modest in the Swedish league, those are huge expectations here in the NHL, the best league in the world, to kind of step in and help out Bo Horvat and Tanner Pearson. I think it's scoring is a major question mark once you get past that, your top heavy group. Once you get past four guys or so on this team, I just don't know if you've got enough in the way of offense. Maybe Gaudette can prove to be that guy. Maybe Jake can be that guy, but again, it's the old until you don't know.
I mean, man, I thought you'd be a bit more jacked up for the season. Where's pessimistic
Ah,
James all of a sudden
it's
when the
the you know
season
what it's the
begins? All
JT Miller thing
worried, where's
rattles
the
me.
goals gonna come from?
Give him
That's
24 hours.
That's like waking up on Christmas and being stressed about the eggnog not being there the rest of the day. Like, you can go to the store and get some.
It's the rum. Day. It's the no. rum.
No, but I'll say this. Like, that's an obvious concern, right? Like, okay, what's your scoring depth going to be like? And I do think if you look at the ceiling of this team, that's going to determine how good they are. Are they more than a playoff team? Can they, you know, do damage? Do we consider them as having taken another step? Well, you're going to need the scoring up front for that to happen. One thing, though, that we also have to keep in mind, if the defense moves the puck a lot better than anticipated, as it should with Nate Schmidt, as it should having Travis Hamonic, you know, rounding out the top six as well, you could generate more offense and more zone time, which could lead to more offense overall. Maybe not as many goals as you had on pace last season, but you can still be above average goal scoring-wise and be better defensively. That's going to be the big thing that I'm looking at. You're absolutely right. Up front, not as much depth as last season. It all hinges on a few unknowns. We'll see how they kind of unfold here, especially Hoglander. But the defense is going to drive a lot more offense. So I'm not as concerned about them scoring goals, at least in the regular season, to make the playoffs.
Are you concerned about what they didn't goal, or do you think they're better? Because honestly, I mean, Markstrom was great. But from a depth perspective, from I think where they're going, I think blue line back, they're better than they were when they dropped the puck last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the blue line is definitely better for sure. I mean, there's no way to dispute that. I mean, you add Nate Schmidt to the group. I mean, he is definitely better than Chris Tanev. And you add Hamonic in, and that's comparable to what they had with Stetcher. So here we go. Like, you have, you know, a better defense, plus Quinn Hughes should give you some sort of improvement in the second season, right? And Ulevi, it's like we went from having no faith in Ulevi playing in the NHL to being like, hey, maybe he is a reliable third pair defenseman. There's a lot there to his game to like, and he's had a year to really rest his body and get into shape. Well, I wouldn't say getting in shape was the issue, but becoming more pliable and his body, you know, getting strong again and recovering from all the injuries he's had. The goaltending, I've said this a few times, so I'll repeat it myself again. Jacob Markstrom was so good last season. Jacob Markstrom may never be as good as he was last season. Yeah. Like, that's the type of year Jacob Markstrom had. So it's a bit of a marker that's really difficult to try to exceed no matter who's in net. So obviously, as far as a starting goalie goes, unlikely Holtby or Demko is going to be as good as Markstrom was. But on the whole, considering that Demko last season, guys, until the end when we saw him get better in the regular season and we saw him in the playoffs stand on his head against the Vegas Golden Knights, he struggled as a backup. Yep. His save percentage during the regular season was .905, and it got better towards the end because he had a few good starts. Like, we had conversations about, is Demko even an NHL goalie at one point last season? Logic would dictate if he has improved and gotten better and has confidence, he should be better sharing the load with Braden Holtby this season. And I have a lot of faith in Holtby.
Yeah, and I would just say to that point, like, when he kind of became that number one by default when Markstrom went down, you know, Demko struggled, right? Mm-hmm.
No, he totally did, especially early on. We all remember what happened in Toronto, right? Like, we remember how he melted down in that game in Toronto where the Canucks played well, but he couldn't make a save to save his life. They had to go with Louis Domingue against Columbus Blue Jackets, I believe it was, because they had no faith in Demko. He was so shook after that game, right? I mean, he struggled at times. I'm expecting him to bounce back and be a lot better as the backup or at least competing for the job. So, and Holtby working with Clark, I have faith that he's going to get, you know, Holtby to the best of his potential at this point, which may not be the Vezina guy from a few years ago. But I do think the goaltending can at least approximate what it was last year as a whole, especially if your defense is better. So I don't look at the goaltending as a huge concern. I'm kind of with James in terms of, okay, what's the forward group going to look like? But overall, I'm not too down on the Canucks' chances.
I believe your partner in crime has finished his calf raises, so he's finished out his leg day. Wax, are you with us this morning?
I've done calf raises for like 4 months. The Christmas got me. Christmas got me.
Well, there you go. You know what? You got to make sure you don't have that light bulb built. Wax, thanks for joining us this morning. Answer me this, because we've debated it, as I'm sure you guys have had. And I go back to Chris Higgins, who we had on this show probably about 6 weeks ago, and he used the word, which I found interesting, fraud. He goes, you know, our team has to prove what happened in the bubble wasn't a fraud. Have we put too much, and not just a Canuck fan base, but, you know, even a Montreal fan base, although they've really changed that hockey team. Have we put too much into what we saw in that unique circumstance in August and the end of July than what we saw for the 60-plus games that was regular season hockey, where we just go, that's the team. No, it wasn't the team that just got into that situation. That's the team that we're building off.
Yeah, that's a good question. We have been debating that. I've been debating that because you wonder, boy, do we overrate this club or are they underrated? Like you look at everyone making their predictions and almost nobody outside of Vancouver has this club making the playoffs. I don't want to say we bought in too much to the playoffs because I think that some of what you saw was like a really good, important step, like for Pettersson and Hughes and Demko and Horvat, like that's real, right? And that's your core. Now, the way this club is constituted right now, do I think that technically they're a goal away from the conference final? No, I think it was a bit Cinderella, and I think the Canucks are in a position to handle that circumstance, the playoff circumstance, better than almost anybody. And we saw teams that, honestly, man, it's psychological. We saw a lot of teams, Blues included, that just kind of didn't want to be there or didn't want to be there as much as the Canucks did. And so I think it enabled them to go on that run, which was great. Now we're back to reality. I don't think they've taken a big step back, but I think they're nip and tuck to make the playoffs. Like last year, they were within a goal of the conference final, but they might, if the playoffs were normal, they might have not made it. Like they would have been in or out by a point. So, I look at that. I think that it's still a team on the rise. I don't think they've arrived or anything.
So how do you guys, Sat, I'll start with you. How do you guys see the North Division playing out here? Who's in, who's out in the way you kind of see these seven Canadian teams when the dust settles on the regular season, who's in, who's out in the division?
So I have Toronto finishing first. I think Vancouver makes the playoffs. I mean, compared to the teams in the North Division, I like their chances overall with the high-end talent they have. I like the defense. I think the Canucks have the best blue line on paper in this division. Goaltending tandem is fine. I'm banking on the Canucks finishing the top three in this division. I have the Canucks finishing top three, second or third. I like Edmonton too. I go with the teams that have the star power. I know Bick talked about this on Central yesterday as well. I would hang my hat in a short season on the teams that have the most high-end talent. Canucks fall into that group. The fourth team is where I get a bit, I'm not sure if it's Calgary that gets in. Does Montreal grind its way in? I'm still not sure on that. But I think the Canucks make the playoffs in this division as long as their top guys stay healthy.
Walks?
I got Toronto in without a sweat. I have Edmonton in without a sweat. Winnipeg's tough for me because I know some people are down in Winnipeg, but they've beaten the Canucks like every game for 10 years. Like
it's a bad matchup. You're right.
I know. We wonder why Winnipeg doesn't win Stanley Cups the way they play the Canucks. So I do have Winnipeg in, and then to me, it's it's fitting. It's Calgary or Vancouver to see who gets in, and like not to be the guy, like gun to my head today, I'm saying the Canucks finish fifth by a hair because I still believe that Markstrom is kind of a bit of an answer in Calgary, but I think it's going to come down to the Flames and Canucks in their 8 or 9 game series. Like I think the winner of that head to head series is going to get in, and I like the improvements Montreal made. But let's not forget that they were nowhere near the playoffs last year. So I think the road's too far for them, and Ottawa's in the basement.
Boy, Walks, I hate to say we think alike, but in the 6 o'clock hour, I said I know where Montreal was, but Carey Price in the regular season struggled. I think they were a little bit like Vancouver, but with not the high-end talent. You make all those changes. It's amazing the predictions and how many people have jumped on the Montreal Canadiens bandwagon. I love the fact that Brendan Gallagher got his deal. He deserves it. But, mm-hmm. I'm not so sure. Tyler Toffoli wasn't a great player until he showed up in a Canuck uniform. There's a lot of hope a lot of risk that I think the Montreal Canadiens have played on too.
Yeah, and I like Suzuki too. I mean, he had a great playoffs. I just think they're a year away. And there's no easy nights. I mean, like Ottawa's going to feel easy because every night you're going into Calgary or Edmonton or Toronto or Vancouver or Montreal and you're cannibalizing each other.
I have the Habs taking the division and I've got Montreal. I just like the way that I love the way they're structured. Price is still Price. I think that you've got where they sit with respect to, you know, Jake Allen giving him a break. That blue line is massive. It's mobile. It's mean. You know, Weber's 6'4", Edmondson's 6'4", you know, Petrie's 6'3". They just got a ton of horses on that back end. And then up front, you know, I don't think they have that alpha dog score, but the one thing I do like with what Montreal's done, they've got a bunch of guys that have that capability in a traditional 82-game season that have that capability to score 20. And they've got 8 or 9 guys who can do that, whether it's Gallagher, whether it's Toffoli, whether it's Tatar, it's Drouin. They've got a lot of guys. I think it's more of a committee sort of approach here for this team. And look at all the character guys they brought in. Like, if you're going to sit there and look at a team that, hey, chemistry might be an issue, you brought in winners. You know, Jake Allen may have been on the bench for a Stanley Cup win, but he went through that, right? Edmondson won a cup in St. Louis. You know, you brought Corey Perry, who's on the taxi squad, who's won a Stanley Cup. Toffoli's won a Stanley Cup. I think that matters. I think the Habs will win this division. I've got the Leafs and Oilers in there, and I got Walker, I'm with you. I got the Jets in there, and I've got the Canucks on the outside looking in at this point in time. I don't think it's a slight on these teams missing out, because I just think it's that tight. I mean, it's a bit of a sucker's bet trying to predict this division this year.
Yeah, man, you've done a terrible job. You've done a terrible job convincing me.
On what part? That the Canucks will miss?
No, the Montreal part.
Oh, the Montreal? Man, I'll take Montreal's chances. Yeah.
I mean, you talked for 4 minutes, but you didn't say anything.
Well, welcome to the show. No. Here's the thing.
Sorry,
guys,
I got two kids yelling at me right here. Sorry, guys. And it's not Walker and Sat.
Sat, we will love every game that we see on Sportsnet, because, you know, you've got your Canucks, and then you're going to see that childhood dream matchup, because I just don't think there's a lot of people that walk around in St. Louis Blues jerseys and Avs jerseys as much. So, you know, we're going to pay attention, obviously, in our job, but I think the casual fan may not. Is there any question that the Colorado Avalanche are the best team in the NHL?
Well, I mean, especially with Kucherov out, in the regular season, and, you know, some of the moves the Tampa Bay Lightning made, on paper, the Avs are probably the most dangerous team in the league right now, right? I mean, and it's not like they needed to do a lot, considering how talented they were last year. Goaltending was a big bit of an issue. That's my only question with Colorado. Is their goaltending going to hold up? I mean, they didn't make a massive move in that regard. You know, is that going to be good enough? But yeah, on paper, it's hard to dispute that the Avalanche are the cream of the crop.
I just question. Yeah, it's just goaltending.
Yeah, tough.
Walk.
Yeah, tough to disagree. And the rich get richer too, because we all knew this day was coming. But even just the reports now, it's like, wow, Byram looks like really ready. And it's like, okay, there's another horse on the back end for 15 years, so he's going to fit right in. Yeah, they're going to be tough. That's the one silver lining, is that the Canucks get to avoid them for a year.
Yeah, that's the hall pass, right? Look, there's so much to like on that roster. They check all the boxes, and it's just the one question mark, as Sat alluded to, between the pipes. But, hey, listen, guys, I appreciate this. I feel like we could go all morning with this. It's an exciting time. Everybody's kind of got that optimism right now. You guys are up and at them. What, pregame show starts at 5. You guys are up and at them at 4 o'clock with the program?
Correct.
Yeah, just Monday to Friday.
Yeah. Are you, well, you're phoning it in today, Walker. Sat's doing all the heavy lifting with the pregame show at 5, or are you
true.
Taking part of that, too?
I'm technologically delayed, we'll say.
Yeah, we figured
Welcome
that out with this
life.
Segment.
Yeah.
That's not a headline.
Thanks, boys.
See you, boys.
Thanks, guys.
See you, guys.